Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and we have sat down here around Ronnie's table and have the word spread out before us, and we just thank God for it, and that we may see and understand what is here. And, boy, when you get into the book of John and you go through, we went through Luke and then started in John, and I thought, well, that wasn't going to be long. We would make a deviance from that, but that's not been true. And, I named the study that we've been going through recently is salvation. And John gives us that understanding that our Lord Jesus Christ is salvation.
Amen.
And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've come to that understanding a long time ago, but again, to read it again, it thrills my heart. And I want to go to John 14:10, and I want to, I think we got through 10 last time, but I made my mark in 11, so I figured, well, I'll go back to 10. I'll go back one verse and pick it up there. Read it, and then we'll discuss it a little bit as we go along. And now, if you're in a companion Bible, there are some things that I didn't fully mark out or mark in because there's just so many things now that they have put it forward to a point to where we're only about 30 hours from the crucifixion according to the word.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, looking back at everything that has went on and going on and continues to go on, here, and the Passover's coming right up, that, you know, to kind of keep the study flowing, we put down the general situations here and tried to make our notes come from the appendices, and we still haven't got them all there, but I think we've got enough there that gives us a pretty good sense of what we've got and where we're going. And I want to start at verse 10 with John 14. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version and the King in the CB. It says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father?" Okay, there's quite a little bit here. If you go back and look at it, believest is commit thyself or commit thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And that's at 150, Roman numeral 1, little numbers, three eyes there. And talking about the I am there. So it says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And I remember years and years ago when I became a believer, and I understood that where God had sent Abraham and where he had walked the land and looked the land and And whenever he got the people there, I guess there was a question somewhere there, and it says, "Who am I going to say that sent me here?" And he said, "The I am sent you."
Tell them I am sent you.
Yeah. Tell them that I am.
That defines it pretty good.
Yeah. So here again, I see this and I can't forget it. And I said, okay, in the Father and the Father's in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, full stop. He said, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And the works here is, in the Greek, is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And I put in my notes there, new understandings. And certainly this is something that we need to stop for just a minute and think about, because where the Jews are, and I said it was, when we started it, it was about 30 hours before the crucifixion. And the people that are here didn't quite understand the situation of resurrection. But some of them were there to see Lazarus, because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, let's talk about that for just a little bit before we go any further. When Jesus came to the grave, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and the Jews had an understanding or a thought, I don't know where they got it from, but they had the thought that when a person died, the spirit stayed around the body around for about 3 days, and when no help come to give that person life again, because we've had several that, you know, had just died, and these men went and prayed for them, and they got life again. They got life back. So there hadn't been anything there that they couldn't have restarted with their prayers and the laying on of hands and so on. And these people couldn't get that. And so we're talking here about, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And this is to them, quite a lot of them, this is new understanding. Because a lot of these Jews had been taken off into captivity.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the privilege of understanding or even going maybe to the synagogue for further instructions. And this thing that they're getting involved in here is kind of like doctoring or going to the doctor. You know, you can go to the doctor 50 years ago, and I can tell you this for an example, because I'm 88 years old now. You can go to a doctor, and he can have words that is still hard to be understood if they're written down. Because I did this with my sister-in-law. She had a problem. And we got her down to Augusta, Georgia to a man. And he kept her for a week. And she was having problems with her, with all her beings. And she was having some trouble with things that she shouldn't, as a woman, shouldn't be having to come up in her system. And I didn't, and he had written a book about that time, and he put his name in the book for her and gave her that book. And she had to go back to him shortly thereafter because what he was doing basically for her at that time were new things that hadn't been tried very much. And that week that he kept her, he found that she had things within her body that he could capture and hopefully make her situation better. And he told her, well, you got to come back because, but I'm looking now and I'm looking and seeing something that's pretty much brand new, but I'm going to have to get you back down here again because I can't do it over the phone. And so I carried her back down there. And she had been told here that she could not ever have any children. And her brother, which is my brother-in-law, they told him the same thing. But he said, for her, I think I could do this. But for him, no. He doesn't have that enzyme there that I need to see in this thing. And so he couldn't promise him anything. Well, he didn't promise her anything. But he said, this is the best thing I've seen yet. And so we carried her back down there, and she went through that second little situation in 4 days and came home. And now she has, after she come home, she had 2 daughters. And those daughters have had children. And so now they have families that they wouldn't have had before. But he had, that doctor had new understanding. And this is more than 50 years now. It's been about 62 or 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're looking at this here about resurrection, these people didn't have the really have a lot of understanding as to being able to be brought back to life again, even after death for periods of time. But here they are. So it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works, or the very same works themselves. So we realize that Jesus Christ had come and Jesus had done the works. In verse 10, the works that would have not have been available maybe at the time, or didn't shed life like we can see it in this day and age, because that's been over 2,000 years ago. Okay, so we get to verse 11. And it says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father abideth in me, full stop. So, the two of them have become one. And so to speak, and the point that the Son doesn't do anything other than the Father would do.
Only the Father's will.
Yeah. It's the Father's will. And the Son abides to that. And it's not really governed down in any way that we could think about, but it stands to be plain and true because it says, I am in the Father and the Father is it abideth in me, full stop. Or else, believe me for the very works, same or the works themselves. The works that the Son came and did. And he was here for the 3 years that he taught and did these things. And these people couldn't believe this because a lot of them, they really didn't understand. It was a rhema to them. It was new understanding because they said, well, that just can't be. Just can't be. But even though they had Lazarus in their group, or in a group there with them, and a lot of them had come to see Lazarus because they just couldn't believe that one had died and had been dead 4 days and was up walking around.
Yeah, he kind of reached celebrity status.
If you can't believe me, look at him.
Believe the works.
Believe the works. We did the works. He's the proof. That is the living proof that God can raise the dead. One thing a little different about this from what's going to happen with the Son of God. When you go back and you look and what happened there when Jesus told Lazarus to come out. Well, he floated out of his grave and wrapped in grave clothes. And they had to undo his wrappings on his head.
Well, it said he was bound hand and foot.
Hand and foot.
Yep.
Okay. So when he unbound him, stood him up, he was ready to go. With Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen that way. Because when they go to the grave, he's gone. I'm getting ahead of myself. But when you look at it, the grave clothes were just like nothing there. And the grave clothes are lying just like he had come out. He didn't have any help.
Yeah.
Okay. And just like he had slipped out of those grave clothes, but here was his head covered. You've heard about the shroud or turin all these times. But that shroud was laying in a different place. And it was still curled up like they had made him a turban, basically or a sleeve for his head. And that the turban was still wound up like that and sitting there just like it had never been touched by man either. And so these things tell you that this was a little different kind of a resurrection.
This was the operation of God.
Yeah.
That
was working.
He declared his, Son to be with power.
Right.
Alive with power.
Absolutely. So, we've said that to say, okay, we've got something to look forward to. And so when you see something that's got rhema with it, sometimes when Jesus was there speaking, because he knows what's going to happen, he knows how it's going to happen. And so he gives them a little clue. I'm going to tell you this before it happens. But then when you see it, you better believe it. Yeah. And that's the reason for that, okay? These people were there and they got to see it and believe it with Lazarus, but they didn't get to see it, but they need to believe it with God because that's his son. And he is salvation. And if you don't have him, you don't have hope of life again.
Amen.
Okay. So now we get down to verse 12. This is the 22nd occurrence in the book of John. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, we're talking about the works, or the similar works of Acts 3:7 and 9:24, that I do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. Okay. I want to go back to look at Acts 3:7. If you have a companion Bible, it's on page 1582. And this man was there at the temple asking alms of them that entered into the temple. And it says that Peter fastened his eyes upon him and John said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received his strength, and he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, so they saw the results of the works. He had been there for a long time.
That was also in fulfillment of the verse that you just read in John, where he said, great works.
Yeah.
You're going to see them.
This is the example.
Yeah, them that believe on me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and then we got, what did I say? 9:24. I thought I was right, but
Acts 9:24.
Yeah. I'll get there in a minute. Oh, here it is. I had it marked, but my marker slipped. Okay. So, in this thing, we got Saul here. It said he increased the more in strength. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, full stop. But they're laying in wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and laid him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he asked they to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was the disciple because of his past
Yeah, he had a little bit of history.
Yeah, he had a little past life.
Well, you remember what Ananias said? Lord, we know of this Saul of Tarsus. Yeah. How many he has persecuted.
Absolutely.
Killed in thy name.
But see, all this had been overcome and had been done away with. And so it was in John's gospel that he says, because the greater works that these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay. So we go back to, John 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, talking about these greater works here. Now, greater works, there's a note in the Companion Bible. Now, I'm going to read these because I didn't rewrite them down in my notes here, but it says, just read the note. But it says, not only more remarkable miracles in Acts 5, 15, and 19, 12 by the men who were endued with power from on high, the pneumahagion, appendage 101, Roman numeral 2:14, but a more extended and successful ministry. The Lord rarely went beyond the borders of Palestine. He forbade the 12 to go save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew 10:5-6. After Pentecost, they went everywhere in Acts 8:4, and Paul could say, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world when you read Romans 1:8. So,
they only considered like their area. That was the known world at that time.
They had an area, and there was a reason why that Jesus didn't want them to go to these other places, because of things that they might not be able to overcome the wiles of the devil there for the period of time, because they didn't have the strength from the Spirit to overcome some of these things that Satan was working up on them. Well, he told them not to even go to the Samaritan people.
But that wasn't time. Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yep.
He was found at the well down there, and the lady asked, well, why are you here at the well? You ain't got no cord or no pot to draw it up with. And Jesus said, well, if you knew who I was, you knew I had living waters. And so from that, she got a hint that he was a holy man from that situation, And so, but he was there waiting on his disciples to come back with food and so on. So here we go again. Verse 13. Let's read 13. And it says in 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, this is Jesus speaking, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. Uh, Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And 14 goes along with 13 here. And, because there was no notes in 14 in the companion Bible. So, you know, sometimes we look at these things and we say, well, why was there nothing in 14, basically, other than if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, hang on a minute. The clinch pin here, or, you know, like shot bolts in a bridge that they can raise up and turn the bridge in some of these ocean places where they can let boats go through and then they'll bring it back around. They have to have something there that will release these pins and let them go up to a point to where what's holding it in place is the power. And so here, the power is in my name.
Yep.
Jesus said, if you ask me for something, I will do it, providing the clenched pin turns it loose. And the clenched pin is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Father's will that works the clinch pin. And
oh,
I'm making the illustration here, but I want to make it clear that it's got to be the Father's will that the Son can do it, even though the Son has this power. But, it has to be, verified sometimes, because some of these Greek words that we use ends with omeia. And when you see that in a Greek word, that's someone asking the divine, the head of God, of the Godhead, for the privilege of doing this. And we sometimes don't really think about that, but if it's not the will of God, it's not going to happen.
No.
It has to be the will of God. Now, so the clinch pin here is it must be that which the Father wills. And so that made these things pretty clear. And in 14 there, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, yeah. But they still there, obey I. So, the Father and the Son are acting as one, but yet, it has to be agreed to between the two of them before it gets done and allows the Spirit to do the work. Now, in verse 15, if you love me, we're talking here about this agape love. This love that's given with no expectation of return. It's freely given. The agape love is freely given. There's no strings attached to it. There's no linchpin there. Okay. Now, God's word is alive in you. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's just to keep my commandments, to do what I ask you to do, and the guidance will be there to lead, guide, and direct you to that.
Yeah, the note even says most of the text read, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah, if you will love me.
One kind of, so, one yeah. went with the other.
Right. So why do you think we have this New Testament? That's these new commandments that we're given. Things that can now happen, like the doctor with her enzyme thing, and now we have the understanding of the Godhead working together as one, and yet the Son of God has been glorified, but he hasn't been put on the cross yet, because he hasn't given his breath and his blood yet for the people that he promised God that he would do all those aeons ago, however how long it would. It don't matter with God, because time is made for man. It's not made for God.
Amen.
Okay. If you love me, keep my commandments. So God's word dwelleth. In my name, as the Son would say, is alive, and it's alive. If you're alive in him, that's it's alive in you. Verse 16. And I will pray. That in the Greek is eroteo, app 132. -I-3. And we're in verse 16. And it said, the Father, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another allos. And that's app 124-1. And this is allos there is the comforter. And when Christ, when he come and was crucified and he come out of the grave and he was willing and he had been there for 40 days and he was going back up into heaven. But he told them, you stay here until the Comforter comes.
And he will guide you into all truth.
Yeah.
That's the book.
I put in my notes, they may have been many more comforters that he may abide with you. That this comforter may abide with you forever. Because the comforter that was going to come to these people to give them understanding of different languages and different things, that was for their still being here on the earth. But this other comforter is talking about eternally, forever. We'll be with you sometime we'll never leave you. Ever. Give might just call. And then we're here. We're still here, been here from this time, been here 2,400 years. And I know there's people that have asked for gifts that weren't given. Now, what happened to them? So, somebody put out a song. I'm a big country music fan, but I think about these things. And a guy was at a football game, and he had his wife with him, but he had dated this other girl for a while, and he said he had prayed to God that God would make her his, this first girl. And that never happened because it wasn't God's will.
Yeah.
Okay?
Unanswered prayer.
You might just call that an unanswered prayer or thought. So this thing about eternally is eston anonia. This comfort that comes from the Holy Ghost. And I thought, my gracious, I never thought that well, but then he realized that he said, well, I need to thank God for this unanswered prayer. So between the Holy Spirit and the young man, if that was truth, we don't know whether it was truth or not. But in that case, if things went that way or were that way, then the Spirit allowed him to see the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And I think that's in the Holy Spirit's realm that it could happen.
Yeah, and how many times, you know, when in your life, can you remember when you thought that at one time something is just exactly what you need?
Well.
And then later on you look back and you realize, man, I'm glad I didn't go that route.
I have asked myself the question, why am I here?
Yeah.
Or who am I talking to here?
Yeah.
And these people kept coming up in my life all my life. I talked to people that I never thought I'd ever meet or had not ever had any dealings with, and I learned from every one of them that God had allowed me to come to a point that I could discern or believe the truth of man or have some rightful way of asking questions to get the truth.
Yeah.
Because even before I was a believer, Carl Henson got on my bus one morning, first grade, first day at school, looked at me and said, hey, I knew his brother, but I didn't never seen him. And he says, I got something to say to you sometime. And I said, okay. And so when we were looking for a preacher and Carl went down and heard Larry speak, and Carl come up, sat down on my couch. It was one of these nights like this. It was bad and cloudy and all this. And he sat down on the end of my couch and he says, I got something I want to tell you. And I said, well, what is it? Is it what you said first day you got on the school bus with me? He said, well, it might be. He said, I don't know. I don't know why I said that. I said, well, does it concern this guy that you went and heard? He said, yeah. He said, we're gonna get him up here. But I think he's gonna stay with us a while. But he says he knows things that we don't know. And you got to know Carl to know that. That was a big word out of his mouth.
Tall order for him.
And I said, okay, I'll take it for face value. And I was not a believer at that time. But I had heard my wife include me in her prayers at night when we were laying down. And I was included in that prayer as though I were a believer already, but I hadn't heard the words that I needed to hear. Hey, my rhema hadn't come to me yet in the sense of fully understanding what I needed to know. Verse 17. And I'm going to omit the word even because it's been put in there by the translators in 17. It said, the Spirit of Truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Full stop. But ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Okay, the Spirit of Truth. Is that 101, Roman numeral 2, number 3? The Spirit of the Truth, the definite article in both cases. The Spirit of Truth and the Spirit. And the world here is cosmos and cannot, is not able to. Seeth. That Greek word is theorio. At 133, Roman numeral 1, number 11. And with in that verse of scripture is beside, in the Greek word is para. And it is at 104, XII or 12, number 2. So, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world or cosmos cannot receive because it seeth him not or neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And 17 and 18 kind of go together in this situation. And 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, to be comfortless here, and he says, or I'll not leave you. The not leaving you aspect of this is the word orphans, to be orphaned.
Okay. Yeah, without comfort is orphaned, yeah.
Yeah, comfortless is to be orphaned, to be alone. And it's the only here and in James 1:27. He says, I will come to ye. I will come to you yet a little while in 19. I.e. about 30 hours. So he knew, Jesus knew his death date.
Yeah.
And he knew the hour. pretty much already. So he knows this. I will come to you yet a little while.
Well, you remember every time they would try to rush him, he'd say, hey, my hour's not yet.
Yeah,
it ain't time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now he's down to about 30 hours.
Getting down to the hour, yeah.
From the moment, to the Lord was taken down from the cross and entombed, he disappeared from the eyes of the world. So, when he was took down and prepared and put in this new tomb in the stone rollover, he was out of sight of the world. And he was there because when this happened, and this is yet, he says, yet a little while. So he says, and the world seeth me no more, but ye seeth me because I live. You shall live also, or live, or shall also live. He said at or en at 104 VII that day, referring probably to the 40 days after his resurrection. But this well-known Hebrew term describes the day of the Lord in consternation to this present day of man. He says, shall ye know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you, fulfilled primarily at Pentecost, but looking on to the time when he will be among his people as Jehovah Shema. It says, see Ezekiel 43:7 and 48:35. So he will come and do his work as it's written in Ezekiel, and he will be, as promised. This will be as a promise. And I'm going to read 21 and we'll stop here at 21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, full stop.
Remember, he already said that earlier. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah.
Okay. But he said it before, and this is looking forward to probably after. And he that loveth me shall be loved of, or by my Father. And this is the word hupo, and that's out 104, XVII-1. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. So it will be manifested. In the Greek, it's emphanizo. That is the word manifest. Emphanizo in the Greek to him. And so we'll leave it at 21 there. And I was hoping to get on through the rest of this, but there's quite a little bit left to go. And I'm going to put my line there of closing. And so I put my bait on it for the next study, and so we'll go from there. But from the 10th verse to the 21st verse, it's hard to get more than 10 or 11 verses into a study. In an hour study, it's just, and it gets harder and harder. The closer and closer it gets to all this being brought forth, that some of these people will believe and understand.
Yeah.
Because their room now has been opened up, maybe to them, so they can understand it and see it and know what's out there toward hope. Because a lot of these people didn't have that hope. They wasn't going to get it until it became clear to them that they could have it. And so he says, I give you a new commandment. That new commandment, well, hang with me. If you believe what I say and do what I say, you become in me and I become in you, you're going to have a lot of help.
What do you mean?
And so that's where we are, because if we don't believe God in another thing, before I leave tonight, I want to say this. I was watching television the other night, and they've got these things set up where you come and go from Mexico into the United States, back and forth. But you got to get in the wheel, you know, and go around the wheel, as they say, do all these things. And this car came up and they asked them where they were going and what they had to declare. And there was four or five of these big bundles of flowers. Said, we're going to a wedding. And some of our people's getting married in the U.S. of A. We're going to the wedding, he said. You gonna take him flowers? Cross? And I said, yeah, we're planning to. He said,
maybe not. No.
Said,
if I can't take beef jerky, they can't take flowers.
Well, here's the thing. This lady said, we can't allow this unless we inspect it. He said, we're going to have to take the flowers open to inspect them. And they said, well, what are you going to look for? That was their, and he said, well, there's all kinds of diseases you guys got that we have eliminated here. Mm-hmm. So they got out, got their flowers. They went into this place. She got a pan and put some stuff in the pan and said, this will show me and two of them big bundles didn't make it. They didn't pass. She wouldn't let any of those come back, but two of them would. But she showed them exactly what it was and said, that's the reason why you can't just drive on by or drive through. We can't allow
that. We got rules.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do with them? Well, we're going to burn them. Said, because we don't allow anything. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Said, you know, in God's law, when he burns something, and I'm talking now about my old deal in fireman stuff, having been a fireman for 50 years. I said, well, when God burns it, it's fully destroyed. But when man burns it, sometimes he don't fully destroy it all, because And even in the ashes, it may show up to come back. And said, this lady is doing what she's doing because she's seeing it, so she's going to eliminate it. If it has been eliminated in the United States, I said, she's on her P's and Q's. I said, boy, that's good. I've never seen that before.
She's all over it.
But here it is. You know, if it's God's will that we don't have it, well, that's good enough for me. But the fact is, when God burned anything, it was fully burned up. And he could burn stuff. He could burn a body laying in a bed with linen and so on in the bed, and the linen didn't burn, but the body burned up because that would have taken care of it anyway. So.
Yeah, only God has the ability to remove things from existence. We can't do that.
That man.
We can change it, but we can't remove it from existence.
Yeah. That's man's situation here. And I thought about that. I said, well, maybe that's God's situation at work. I'm looking at this and seeing this.
Interesting.
So I didn't want to go without mentioning that because that was so good. I said, that's proof there that God can do or cause something to be done that will, you know, take care of a situation that we couldn't have really seen. We just had to let it went by.
Amen.
And meaning with all good mean, you know, with if they were going to have to buy some flowers in the United States, they weren't going to bring them a foreign country here.
Yeah, that's better you not try that. I tried it with my jerky and it didn't work either. So. Good study, Dave. We'll stop.